broadcasting live from Miami 305.
It's episode 101. Is this dedicated to a 101 crash course in NFTs?
Oh, every day, baby. That's right. Hello, Nerdy.
Hola, William. Hey, Dan. Hi, Riddell. I've been thinking about it and the, like, obsession it becomes. And want to ask also all of you this. But I've been thinking, we know that governance mechanisms don't work, actually. What if the mechanism works by machine? Think about it like AI engine or something like that. When you think about those decisions, it doesn't mean that they will build something ethical and standards always. So if we can manipulate the AI by the ethical standards and the positioning.
There's actually a clear answer here. Some of the questions here is we're talking about governance. We're talking about how is the future of organizations, of humans on Earth. And there will be changes very soon on this.
And you need to, like, insist on people so they can claim their votes. So.
Yep. This is well documented. I mean, there's a lot of books about this for millennia. So that's governments are big. Obviously, they can tax, they have armies. There are smaller organizations. I'm going to call them, like, committees. And one of the biggest documents related to this, can anybody yell it out?
The
Who
Rules
speaks?
Of Order?
Yes. This is a really popular book about how small groups of people can decide who speaks in a way where, like, everybody's on the same level. You get somebody who's a person who's in charge of moving, like a moderator. Crypto Nerdy Lady, you absolutely want to read this book called Robert's Rules of Orders. That is not the answer to your question, but it's definitely something that people are going to expect you to know about if you're going to make a new world order. Now we want to think about what is the role of AI in meetings, which is going to change a lot this coming year, and how do we bring people in a more ethical, even place? And actually, the answer is pretty simple, and it's so dumb, and it goes back to the 1950s, and the answer is directives. And so this is how AI and humans work together, and these are programming. So these are things that you have to tell the computer, and they're the very clear thing that as part of initiation, you have to understand the directives. When we have this meeting right here, we have a meeting, and our directives at the top are learn tech, pitch projects, ask anything, earn badges. Crypto Nerdy Lady comes in and she starts saying, hey, this isn't about crypto. Am I allowed to speak about this? The answer is yes. So my authority here is that I'm pointing back to this, our tagline here, and that is why we're talking about this. Not because I'm friends with Crypto Nerdy Lady, I am. Not because her topics are cool, they are, but because it's on topic. I'm just referring us back to the tagline here. With a computer, it's even easier because that's all they're going on. And if you can actually look up Sydney, Bing chatbot, directives. So Sydney is the Bing chatbot, which is very similar to ChatGPT, but you can actually read all the directives behind the scenes. You're going to see a lot of this in meetings, a lot of meetings coming up, probably 1 in 1,000 meetings in the year 2023 are transcribed and notes are taken by a computer. In 2024, it might be like 1 to 5%.
Exactly it is. Well, here's the question. Yeah, there's a problem on the OpenAI, for example, because it doesn't allow it to all the internet data. So we can describe all the values of the that DAO, that community from people. Or instead of making by like group of people, it's more logical opening maybe questions. Let's think about like Google Form in a simple way. And asking questions to people and by their approach to those answers, maybe we can create that data then. Well, by the way, thank you.
Thank you. These are great questions. I mean, this is in the forefront of new things that are going to be coming out.
I don't know what they think about the coal mining. I don't know what they think about the nuclear energy, or I don't know what they think about the many things. So, and also they can cheat the robot and they can manipulate the robot.
I think the same way you limit humans. Humans have...
They should be limited.
Yeah. And the worst part about humans is even if you think you understand them, what they say, the difference between a dog and a human is you can feed the dog and they'll be your friend forever, but you can feed the human and they will kill you one day.
I mean, I prefer to care, actually, mostly. I don't care is it human or dog. It is what makes me happy and how I feel better. And it is also about my ego. And also it is the way because we all trying to be good people. I don't know, you know. So without waiting something, we are giving also.
Are there any good books where humans like give over, science fiction books where humans give over control of society to AI robots and it's not some like evil dystopia? I don't know of any.
If it's not dystopia, it should be utopia then.
I think it'd be an interesting way to think about some of the questions nerdy ladies asking.
Well, also, the history always favors the winners. Nazi Germany would sound a lot better in the history books if they won.
Yeah, there was a TV show about that.
So all of the dystopias are written about the future. None of the dystopias are written about the past. So maybe the dystopias are utopias. The dystopias of the future are really just utopias that have poor marketing.
That's necessarily the case, according to your logic, that if it's truly the future.
So that's one cop-out answer. But yeah, so I mean, obviously fiction favors dystopias because more people would buy tickets for that. Maybe there's other books where there's technology in it and maybe they're just part of the background. So there's a couple I can think of. One would be Ender's Game, where in the Scott Orson card series, there are definitely very advanced AIs that have not a protagonist role, but definitely a supporting role in the books. Ender has got this relationship with his AI that lasts over 3,000 years because he's time dilution, right? So the AI is managing his affairs and they have a kind of a love thing going on, right? So that was really allowing a lot of the things to happen in the book, but it wasn't a dystopia. A lot of the brain share, I guess that's the word, is the brain share. How much of the effort was put forward by the tool or versus the hand?
Are you working on any interesting AI projects? Will, using ChatGPT, you talk about it occasionally. What's in the pipeline?
I have the one project T-Bone. Dan reminds us from ChatGPT, the GPTs is basically stole it. This whole idea wholesale. I got Sherlocked. T-Bones, I'm still using it every day at work, and it is tried and true.
What is it? How did it work? What does it do? What is it?
All T-Bones are just a couple input boxes. And you hit run and you get an output. That's it. And you can make little tools like that where fix my email. I've got one for marketing tools. Here's some things that worked. Here's some things that didn't work. Go give me good ideas that work. And then it's just input and output. And that's it. Also, it allows you to share your prompts really well. So you've got the thing. It's tuned exactly how you want it. You give it to someone else. For that scenario, I think it's better than GPTs. GPTs gets a little better is if you want to paste in your entire FAQ or your employee handbook and you want other people to talk to your employee handbook.
So it's not conversational.
Nope. It's just input, output.
Okay.
So when you describe as GPTs, it's not LLMs then, or what you did to the LLMs, how it works exactly in the background.
Right. The thing I did is the T-Bone. The thing that OpenAI came out was the GPTs. Nothing else for me. I mean, that's all I made. It works great. I use it all the time. My team uses it. Haven't thought of the second app yet.
Looks like Dan's back. Dan, you want to talk?
Yeah. So one is podcast automation. So it's like some friends and I are building this little app where you can input like a podcast URL and then it goes to find the MP3 file, the audio file, and then turns the audio into a long transcript and then turns the transcript into a summary and then also breaks up the transcript into like a bunch of chapters. We just want a summary. We don't want to listen to a really long podcast. But the bigger thing is like you could turn this into like an app, like short clips about stuff you're actually interested in from those podcasts. So that's the direction. And it's only because there's GPT that makes something like this possible. There's another where you like give the GPT a bunch of your goals and then it helps you determine like what your task list should be today. I'm thinking of it like I want it to be my boss, like to tell me what to do and to motivate me. But I decide, and if you want, like we could go into the back end and like talk about how it's created.
They both suggest asking the GPT what it wants to do.
So he's here he put his 2022 and 2023 goals.
So I just pasted in my yearly goals and asked it what I should do today. And it gave me gave me some homework, speaking in the voice of someone who has authority over me. Yeah.
But it didn't help you break it up. Like the real reaction should be a year is a long time. Like you should break it down. But I guess in the way that I set it up, like I think it's expecting like a daily task list and then tries to get you to choose one specific thing to do and then do that right now and then come back and tell me when you're done.
If somebody at work sends me a podcast, I need to listen to it, and it's more than 10 minutes, I never listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
I use YTDLT. I hit the button. I open terminal. I type the things. I go get a coffee. I come back. The whole thing's printed out. Now I have a piece of paper that I can walk around with my coffee and then go mark up.
That's awesome. How do you do the summarization?
So I'm using the Whisper to go from audio to text, raw text. So you've got to switch from oral speaking to written speaking. When I repeat myself two or three times, like, why am I doing that? What is the thought I'm trying to get across? And a transcription will have that repetition, but the blog form won't. Does that make sense? So you have to use Whisper, and then you have to use GPT.
Right.
Which is going to cost money, unless you're using Llama.
Right. So it's the summarization that's costly, not the transcription.
Here it is. Okay. So I'm gonna quickly take. We might break the internet right now, but we're gonna take the episode that we're doing right now one time.
This is very, very meta.
Yep. And then we're gonna output it to Wave, and then we're gonna put it in Whisper, and then is that gonna work yet? Yeah, and then we'll just. All right. So here's our current episode, transcribed through Whisper as we're speaking.
For real?
Yeah. So it's catching up to the...
It's going to catch up pretty quick. Then it'll just be closed captioning.
So first step is going to use FFmpeg to take the slice the audio out. Upbeat music. Right at the beginning is upbeat music. Here's all the words. The episode, it's got the timeline, which I manually fill in. Then it's got the quick notes on the right. These are real quick, like just links. And then when you click into it, it's got at the bottom, it'll have the transcripts.
Because you have the raw video and you have the edited video.
Right.
I still want to ask a few wrap-up questions about what I wanted to ask about NFTs, since this is an NFT title. It's pretty cool.
I hate NFTs.
We all do.
Cool. So I'm interested in the actual ERC 721 process when it was being published. I listened to some interviews that you did where you were talking about it. And one of the things that was intriguing was solutions that were there at the time. Everyone had their own ideas, sort of in the same exact thread. So what was it like seeing those solutions, getting from those solutions going to the public, to the actual published solution? Were those solutions that were there, were they completed? Were they viable? Could they have been published themselves? Was the point of the synthesis to make everyone agree, or was it to make something that worked, that it wasn't complete until the published product came around?
Great question. There are other competitors to ERC 721 that are viable. There are definitely projects using those, were using them, that actually changed.
Were they in the ERC before the ERC was published and people were proposing things?
They have an ERC number. They're higher than 721, so they came later. Some of them came because 721 got stalled. It was in a slow process, and other people wanted to get it done, so they put their ideas out as another ERC. They're listed in the thread discussion, but they're listed in here. And here's why. Some of them did not have enough projects behind them that they were was a very strong risk of fragmentation. CryptoKitties was a very large project, was already published, and some of the other ones were entirely new ideas. So if we had one project with CryptoKitties and we had another project with the other one and they were completely incompatible, now theoretically, CryptoKitties is not ERC 721, but it's close enough. So if we had the two different projects that were fundamentally incompatible, then MetaMask would have never implemented ERC 721. The only acceptable solution was that CryptoKitties, other projects, and MetaMask, in some reasonable amount of time, had to all use the same thing. And that is why we had to get other people to basically abandon their babies and not feel bad about it. And they weren't bad ideas.
So you're saying that when you came in and there were too many cooks in the kitchen, you weren't talking about inside of ERC 721. You mean other ERCs?
Even though they had different ERCs, the concept was the same. If ERC 721 wasn't stalled, all of their efforts would have been in this same discussion. Only because the discussion was slowed, this is called like a quote fork, they moved the discussion out to continue that.
So was it, since there are a bunch of different solutions, was Shirley Dieter, what did Shirley Dieter provide in terms of code? Like how different was Shirley Dieter's initial proposal?
You can see the exact code by clicking on the issue number 721. Here it is, original draft. so you can see the actual code originally that he brought in.
That's really interesting. I did have trouble finding the code myself. Cool. Very interesting. Thanks.